Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
That was a good clap, but if you were clapping for me, but if you were clapping for Jesus, what would you do? That's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Now, I know we got some live people in the house today. Amen?
Amen.
I just want to take a few minutes to say hi to a few friends, Georgine and Dan, and my brother Matt's in here somewhere, Pastor Matt, and a few other folks. And if you're not somebody I mentioned, you're special too. Amen? Thank you for coming this morning. And I want you to open your ears, open the eyes of your heart, to hear what God would speak to you today. I noticed that the Bible says that whenever two or three people are gathered together in his name, what happens? Some of y'all didn't know if that's the answer or not. Yes, that's it. He's there. And I don't know about you, I've said this before, but if Jesus is here, he intends to do something. He didn't come here for nothing, did he? He came here to be worshipped and adored because we worshipped him and we adored him. Amen? Is that true? And so he wants to do something today. So I want to encourage you to think that way, that God came to meet you where you are, wherever that is. And I don't know what I'm saying that might meet you where you are, but God knows exactly what you need and he'll get it to you. It's not too hard for him. There's a scripture that says nothing, absolutely nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for him. So I might say one thing and you might hear something else. God speaking. Amen? Last week, we were speaking about Joseph and how he was considered to be faithful. Now, there's a lot of messages you could get in the story of Joseph as you read it. And just to review for some of you who may not have been here last week, or you never heard the story, Joseph had a father, as you would think. Everybody has a father. Joseph's father was Jacob. And Jacob was a man who had a reputation for being a deceiver. That's kind of what Jacob means. So he deceived his brother out of his birthright. Him and his mom got together and they tricked his brother. And then if you read forward through the story in Genesis, you see that Jacob got to a place where he fell in love or saw this woman that he wanted. And back then you went and you talked to her daddy and you put some money up and you got your woman. And so I know some of y'all don't like that, but that's how it was. Okay, so he tried to buy, he made an agreement with this woman's dad, and he was going to buy, you know, get his daughter in marriage. But the man tricked him back. And he said, because back then they wore a little thing over there. The women wore a little, I forget what you call it. A veil, that's it. And it went over. So he didn't know who he was marrying until the next day when he woke up after they had conjugal visits. And he found out that he had the wrong woman. But he wanted the right one so bad, he had to work to get enough money to save to get the. So he ended up with sisters. And Joseph was born to one of those women. So Jacob went to work for Laban. And as you remember, Laban made him do all that stuff. And he worked as a sheep herder. And Jacob was successful. He made Laban so much money, Laban didn't want him to let him go. So Joseph had to work. He worked for 7 years, then he worked some more years. And Laban kind of cheated him, man. And finally, Jacob got away from him. In the process, we notice that Joseph, who was born to Jacob, and the Jewish tradition tells us that boys would stick with their dads and they learned their father's trade, whatever it was. So Jacob was a sheep herder, so Joseph knew about sheep too. And that's what we were talking about last week, how Joseph, in his process of his life, you remember he had the dream, and his brothers got mad at him. His father gave him a coat. He was the favored son, and he had a special coat. Jacob and his Joseph's brothers didn't like him, so they got mad at him one day because Joseph told them a dream where, in the dream, he said they were bowing down to him. My sheep was taller than your sheep, and they all started bowing down, worshiping, and his brothers were like, I don't think so. They didn't like that. And then he told his dad he had another dream, and the sun and the moon and the stars bowed down to him, and basically he was saying, y'all going to worship me. I'm going to be over you. They didn't like that. So when they could, they threw him into a pit. And I'm shortening the story severely. But essentially, when he went in the pit, he was given up for dead. And long story short, some people came by, and he was, instead of killing them, they sold him, and he went to Egypt. So that's where our story kind of picked up last week. Joseph was in Egypt, and we talked about how him being faithful to what he knew, and I want to get back on that track, that Joseph was a sheep herder, and he was consistently faithful in the tough times, in the things that he went through. Yes, he opened his mouth. Yes, he caused some problems by saying his dreams, but God used all of that for his purpose. Amen? So today, we're going to speak from Genesis, and we'll be in the 39th chapter. If you'll put that up, we're going to talk about that. We'll read it, 39 verse 2. I'll read my part, and you guys can follow, and then read your part. Genesis 39, 2. Would you stand as we read the word? It says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight.
And served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had was under his authority. So it was, from the time that he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field.
Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hands. He did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Verse 10, so it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was inside that she caught him by his garment saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and he fled and ran outside. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in and took to me and to mock me. And so it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside.
Servant did to me after this manner, but his anger was aroused.
But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing together. The keeper, is it up there yet? Okay, one more time. Next. All right, I'll read it to you. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Joseph was a man who followed your leading. Thank you, Lord, that he was faithful. Help us to hear what we can learn from his life, what we can apply to ours today. Lord, help us to be changed from the image that we are to the image of Christ. Stamp your love down in our hearts this morning. We release your word into this atmosphere to bring life and healing in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I know that was a long scripture, but I wanted you to get the message. And the message is pretty powerful. Joseph is being faithful in the pit. He gets out of the pit, and then he goes to Egypt. And before you know it, because he's faithful, his character is improved. He keeps getting more like Jesus, even though it was God. He gets more like God, and he walks into more trouble because he won't do the wrong thing. The Lord was with him, and he succeeded in all his ways. Joseph was being blessed, and it was dependent on his understanding and obedience to God. He was faithful in where he was placed and what he had control over. In verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Then he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So he got promoted because of his faithfulness. Now, one of the things I brought up last week, and I bring it up again, is when you're being faithful and doing what God put you to do, somebody sees it. Amen. You're not doing it in a vacuum. Some people think, well, nobody knows me over here, and I can just do whatever. But you know what? There's always somebody who's watching you. Always. I mean, you might think you're just nothing. And I remember being a young man, even I'm talking about 6, 7 years old. I always thought that I was nothing. I was little. I'm still kind of little this way. But when I was younger, I was really short for my age. And I was in school with people who were a little bit older than me because I started school a little earlier than most people. So I was always insignificant in my mind. Always. And I thought it didn't matter what I did. I used to walk down the street looking down, looking for money, looking for stuff. And I found lots of stuff. But the reason I was looking down is because my image of myself was that of being small. And I was looking down because I was afraid and ashamed. I'm not sure why I was, but I was. The bottom line is that when you think no one's looking, somebody is. And years later, I was just living life, and a friend of mine came to me and said, Paul, I've been watching you for like 10 or 12 years. I said, what, are you kidding me? He said, yeah, I've been watching your life. He went to church with me. He said, I've been watching your life. Actually, it was more like 16 years. And he said, man, I've seen God in your life over and over and over again, how you were faithful when no one was looking. And I'm not trying to lift up myself. I'm only trying to say that the faithful person, the person who wants to be faithful, has to do the same thing that God tells them to do, and they have to be obedient. And that's why the blessing of God was on Joseph, because he obeyed what his father taught him, how to be faithful. Amen? Amen? So his faithfulness got him a promotion because somebody was watching him. In verse 4, it says, so Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. So not only was he being watched, but then because of his good work, somebody said, you know what, that guy, he needs to be in charge of this, because I see how he's in charge of what he has. Have you ever gone to a mechanic to get your car fixed? And when you got there, there was pieces of cars all over the place. And then you saw him drive up in his car, and the tail lights are hanging out, and you look at the seat covers, and they're all ripped up, and his engine is smoking. Do you think you want to have that guy work on your car? Really? Some of y'all going, that wouldn't be bad, really? But really, I wouldn't want to go have him working on my car. But if he comes in and his car's looking good, well, I'll give you a better example. If you go to the dentist and his teeth are all grimy looking and whatnot, you want him working on your mouth? And I actually went to a dentist like that. And I didn't have a choice. It wasn't like I could go, you know, I was younger and I had to go. And I looked at that guy and I was like, man, I don't know if he's telling me the truth. Because his teeth are jacked. So, but that's kind of, you know, our life needs to look like something that somebody would be proud of. Amen? Well, I want what he has because he looks like he's doing all right. And if you have the love of Jesus, I've said this before, please notify your face. Like, tell somebody, let it come out. Some of y'all, man, you come to church, you look like you've been, my pastor used to say this from Texas, you look like you've been sucking gas noodles out of a pipe, a gas pipe. You've been sucking noodles out of a gas pipe, that's it. Can you imagine what that looks like? But you know, if you have a great life, if God's done something for you, you should be able to show it. So my encouragement to us today is not to brag and put on a face, because we all know how to do that. We smile. How you doing? Oh, I'm fine. And inside you're dying. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about letting the life of Jesus live in you so well that it comes out. And how we do that, I'm going to talk about a little bit. But how we do that is submitting to God, and it comes from obedience. So I remember early in the story, Joseph was told to his father to go check on his brothers. And he was obedient, and he went and checked on his brothers. That kind of got him into trouble. But it's his obedience that got him into trouble. And sometimes that happens when we do the right thing. We get into trouble because the devil wants to make us pay for doing the right thing. He does. He's a liar and a thief. And if he can convince you not to do the right thing, you'll be in his clutches. Joseph did not do that. The blessing of God that was on Joseph's life was enjoyed by Potiphar and his house. You notice that? In verse 5, it says, others are blessed. Let me read it for you real quick. It says, so it was from the time that he made him overseer of all his house and all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So when you are blessed, it's not just for you. You're blessed to be a blessing to somebody else. Amen? Yeah, I mean, you just think about it. If you have joy and you meet somebody who doesn't, change the atmosphere. Hey, man, you looking? Put a smile on your face, man. What? I heard a story of a guy a few weeks ago, but I went to see him last night. But he was talking about in his testimony how he was going to kill himself, and so his life was over in his mind. So he went and looked up in the Yellow Pages and found a church, and he was going to go there and commit suicide in the church. Why he went to the church doesn't make sense, but it does when you think about it. Because deep in his heart, God is where the answer was. So he went to church, and when he met the preacher had a smile and joy that was unbelievable. And he kept saying, what's wrong with you? And the guy said, man, I got the love of God. And it changed his life. I mean, I can't tell his testimony, but it changed his life. So just the other day, last night, all week actually, he was down at the convention center passing that joy around, setting people free in the name of thousands of people. He's done it all over the country. And what I'm saying is that when you have something that's worth having, it's worth giving away. And you are blessed to be a blessing, but when you're blessed, it passes over onto other people, even if they don't like it, even if they don't want it. You know, people were coming in Potiphar's house, and they just went to work every day. But because Joseph was successful in doing the stuff he did, they got the blessing. They benefited from it. I used to work for a company, and the owner wasn't a believer, but his wife got saved. And I knew him for probably about, I worked for him for 8 years, but I knew him for probably 10 or 11, 12 years. And when I first met him, I used to buy computer stuff from him. I had my own little business, and he used to sell me stuff, and I would resell it. So I got to know him pretty good after a while. And then I moved up here to Portland from Texas, and I would talk to him on the phone, and he hired me to work in his store up here. And so while I worked there, I found out over time that the store was blessed because I was blessed. When I came into the store, and I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about God living his life through me in such a way that people could see it. So when I worked there, people would come in and I'd bless them. In fact, I used biblical principles to make that store profitable. Here's one of them. Give and it shall be given unto you, right? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men will give into your bosom. So here's how I did. I became the sales manager, and every new salesman, when he would come in, I'd take him and say, here, I'm going to give this sale to you. And I might give him two or three sales. Some of my good customers, I'd just give them to him. And he'd go, how come you're doing this? Because I can. Now, I wasn't supposed to do that. They got all the profit from that sale. Everything went to them. And all I did was tell them, look, this is how you take care of the customer. And I give them away. For every one I gave away, I probably got five or six more back. Two or three months, we always had a goal, what we had to reach. And there was a period of time where every month, I was the high salesman. And sometimes the other five guys didn't equal all my sales. Every phone call was, can I speak to Paul? Can I speak to Paul? Can I speak to that black guy in there? Can I speak to Paul? It was just because of the favor of God. Because I gave, and God gave me back. And my boss was blessed. Our store did, some months we would do $500,000. The store was no bigger than the stage up here. We had huge business. It wasn't all my fault, but I had a part in it. Because I was blessed. And so one day I decided to go on the road and play with James Ingram. And I said, hey, man, is it okay if I leave and go play? He said, yeah, you can have a job when you come back. I'm gone for 2 months and a half or something. I come back. Oh, I like musicians because you know how to sell. He let me go and come back. I'd be gone for a month or 2 months, or a weekend or 2 weeks, come back and play. And that happened over and over and over again because of the favor of God, because I was a blessing. Amen. That's how we can be a light to the rest of the people around us. Job, if we move down, we look at verse 7. It said, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. It actually said Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. He was a good-looking dude, Anthony. He was good-looking. That's a joke between me and him. But Joseph was good looking. And the Bible says that he looked good and he was fit. So Potiphar's wife, she must have been used to, what they call it, stepping out, or I don't even know what they call it, because I don't know nothing about that except that it happened here. And when Potiphar wasn't home, she decided to play around. And so she looked at Joseph and said, come over here and lie with me. That's what it said in verse 10. Joseph got up out of there. It says he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Back in the day, we used to use the term, he was booking it out of there. He got up fast. Another term we used to, he had it up. That means he put on his coat and his hat and he was gone. Except she took it off. But it says in verse 8, Joseph refused. I need to back up and say this. What God puts in each of us will be attractive both good and bad. The things that God gives you, the gifts that He gives you, He puts them in you for His glory. And you can use them or you can abuse them. Joseph could have played, I would call it the fool, and said, "Hey, baby, what's up?" And he could have went that way, but he didn't. He ran. Everybody has a gift. We talked about that last week. And I would say this, that in order to be faithful, you have to take your gift and keep it underneath God's hand. Use it the way He intended for you to use it. There's somebody here probably thinking, "Well, I don't really think my gift is all that important." It's important. Because God doesn't waste anything. And He gave everybody at least one gift. Maybe many. Some of us have so many gifts we don't know what to do with ourselves. And there's others of us who have gifts, and we use one or two for God, and then we keep the rest back here somewhere. Or some of us have gifts and we don't even know how to let God use us to use that gift. But if you find the vein or the socket where the electricity is and you plug into what God has for you, you'll be lit up like a Christmas tree for His glory. Those gifts that He's placed in you will change the world around you. So Joseph was good looking. That was one of his gifts. But he didn't give it over to the devil. So it says in verse 8 that Joseph refused repeatedly. She kept on asking him every day, "Hey, Joseph, come on in here." And he was like, "No, I got to go." In fact, when he saw her, he went the other way. He kept avoiding her or, you know, staying away from her. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hands and fled outside, she decided to call the guys in the house and tell a lie on him. And she set him up because he was doing the right thing. "I'm not going to sleep with you. I'm not going to sin against God." And this is a huge thing, I think, that many of us sometimes we miss. How many of you really want to be like Joseph and you want to be righteous? I mean, everybody's hand should go up. I got both of mine up in case you didn't want to do it. They all three of them are up. Okay? Because I want to be righteous. Amen? And God wants you to want to be righteous. And so He's provided a way for us to be that righteous person. But you don't get righteousness just because you want it. I figured this out. As a young man growing up, you have to love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. But how come do we love God? How come we love God? Does anybody have the answer to that question? What? Uh-oh, I heard it over here. What? That's right, because He loved us first. His love drew us to Himself. His grace and mercy drew us to Himself. So when you love somebody, they don't have to yell at you to get you to do what they want you to do. It's because you love them that you obey. Amen? That's a big thing, because a lot of people think God is going to kill them if they don't do what He says. And that's possible, but that's not the way God is operating. He could, and you out. I've been around some people, they be blaspheming God, and I start stepping away. Because I don't want none of it. When the powder comes, I don't want none of that hitting me. But the thing about it is, God doesn't treat us like that. He loves us. And when we obey, He fixes us. Our heart gets changed. But here's the deal. We do it because we love Him, not because we have to. I think that's the point that I'm trying to make. We obey God because we love Him. If you do anything for God and you do it out of love, that's what God is looking for. He's not looking for your good deeds just because He said to do them. Because if that's the case, then we'd all be, you know, you can train a dog. Come, sit, right? You can train an animal, and we'd be like that with God. He's just more powerful. He could beat us into submission very easily. But He doesn't do that. He gives us a choice. So how many people have experienced the grace of God? Yeah, that's because you deserve to get blown out or lit up or whatever. But God didn't do it. And it's the Bible says it's his love that makes us repent. It's his love that makes us, that calls us into repentance. And so when we love God, that's what happens. And that's the reason why Joseph was obedient and he could say goodbye to Potiphar's wife. Because even though she was trying to do something, he said, I can't do it because I'd be sinning against God. That's the big reason he puts in there. I would be sinning against God. Love made him want to obey, not punishment. God loves us and he has the best prepared for us if we're faithful and consistent in our pursuit of relationship with him. It's out of relationship that the love happens. If you don't have a relationship with God, and when I say relationship, think of it this way. Have you ever met somebody for the first time? You shake their hand and you seem like they like you, you like them, you want to get to know them, but you don't ever see them again. You never talk to them anymore. You don't call them up. You don't get on Facebook and see how they're doing. You don't send them a letter. You don't email them. You don't text them. You don't care about them. Now, I went to church for almost, not almost, I was born in the church. Some of y'all know that. I lived in the church. I knew people all my life. And some of them, they were still baby Christians, but they were 50 years old. Because they met Jesus, but they didn't have a relationship with him. They never spent any time with him. They never read the Bible. They never prayed. They would come to church and wait to be spoon-fed. How many of y'all don't have to raise your hand? That was a trick question. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't have a relationship with God, you don't experience his love. You only get pieces of it, like his grace and mercy. Like when you're in trouble and you call on him and he shows up, even though by our standards, hey, you never called me before. Why are you calling me now? Amen. Anybody got friends like that? Can't see him or nothing. Then when they have a problem, hey, Paul, man, you're my best friend. I've been called a lot of people's best friend. But when I need help, can't find them. That's not how God treats us, but that's how we treat God. We don't spend no time with him. We don't do the stuff that it takes to have a relationship. When you have a relationship with God, it's when you experience his love. Because he wants to love you like you've never been loved before. And I know that sounds kind of strange to especially guys. What do you mean he's going to love me like I've... No, man. I'll tell you, I'll say it this way. God knows everything about you. And when you get in his presence... When you get in his presence, everything changes. Nobody has to explain nothing. God shows up and all hands go up. How many of y'all were in worship at 10 o'clock this morning? Whoa, some of you were here. And some Sundays when you come at 10:30, the worship is just about done. And you just hear the word, but you're not in the presence of God like you could be. So you miss out on all the, I'll put it this way, all the Holy Spirit enveloping you and encouraging you and speaking to your heart and talking to you about stuff you need. How many of you came to church this morning and you didn't necessarily come to get something, but you have a need this morning? I mean, put your hand up. I'm just going to pray God would meet your need right now in the name of Jesus. The God that has everything you need, that he would provide whatever it is you need. If it's healing, if it's a word of the Lord, if it's direction, if it's a single mind. There's some double-minded people out here this morning. You need that single mind so you're not confused and you're not deceived. And you need that. God wants to give you that today. He has something for you today that will change your life. And that's why the scripture says, in his presence there's fullness of joy. When you get in his presence, God shows up and he does something to you. And I don't know what he does to you. I just know he's going to do something. Because like I said earlier, when you come to church, you expect to meet Jesus. He came because we worshiped him. And when he comes, he's going to do something. You should come to church every day expecting to receive something from God. Just like when you go to the store to buy food, you expect to put your money out and get something back. I don't want to trivialize God's presence. But when you come to church, you should be willing to put your worship out. You should be willing to open up your mouth and thank him for a fresh day. You should be willing to lift your hands and just in his presence honor him. He's the king of the universe. He created everything. By the word of his mouth, worlds were put into place. That same God knows how many hairs you have or don't have on your head. That same God knows every detail of your life. That same God has a plan to change your life so that it means something, not only to you, but to others and to him. And so it's no problem to worship that guy. But sometimes our view of God is so limited and small that we don't give him the place that he's due, so he can't do nothing for you because you're not in his presence. That's not in the notes, but that's a good word. Amen. The clock is ticking. I hear somebody's stomach growling. But that's okay. God's going to fill it soon enough. So Potiphar's wife got Joseph in trouble. Joseph ends up getting put in prison for it, right? And now when he's in prison, the character of Joseph comes out again. Because he's in prison for a little while, and before you know it, he's been made chief justice of the prison again. He rises to the top. He's in jail, and he rises to the top. How does that happen? It happens because of character. So character is what you do when no one's looking. The real you. Some of our real yous we don't want to admit to. I used to be like that. On Sunday, and when I was at home with my family, I was a little Paul that played the piano and the organ. But in school, around the corner, "What's up, man?" And I used to use a few four-letter words. And one day, I only lived around the corner from my house. I mean, I only lived around the corner from my school. And it was as if I walked to a foreign country when I turned the corner. And I didn't think none of that would ever come back on me. And you know what? It never did. It never did. Thank God. But what did come back was that I was living one life over here and another one over here. And eventually I said, you know what? I got to stop doing that. I got to be the same. So somebody said to me, I was learning music in my younger days, and a teacher said, you know, the best you are is whatever level that you are when you're not that good. In other words, the worst you play, that's really the best you are, because that's your default. So if everything goes wrong, you're going to play at that level. Okay? So his answer to that was make that level be as high as you can get it so that your default is very high. And you'll be a good musician. That's kind of good, right? You just get that up. But it doesn't work like that with character. Because character comes from God. And character is established in the crucible of the fire. When you go through stuff, that's when character gets developed. When Joseph got put in the pit, he was developing his character. When his father told him before that, go out there and tend to the sheep, he was, you know what, I probably hate these sheep, but he saw his father do it because you know why he said it. Sheep are dumb. Are they not? How many of you have ever seen sheep in person, really? Like, have you seen them? They have to be corralled. Are they not dumb? Is that my impression, or do you agree with me? If you do, like, raise your hands and make a lot of noise. Sheep are dumb, right? Y'all not really getting this. So here it is. There used to be a sheep farm when I lived in Texas, and it was right across the street from the high school that had 3,000 students. So it was not rural, but it hadn't been developed, and that was a sheep farm. And I remember driving around there every day to go to work, and I'd see those sheep in the pen. They'd be walking around doing their little thing. And one day, somehow, the pen got open, and the sheep were walking down the street. They were walking every which way. And in Texas, in Dallas, you can go 70 miles an hour on a side street because it's three lanes each way. And they're concrete and smooth, and you can be flying. And everything is spread out, so that's common. And these sheep were just walking around, oblivious, just walking around, and cars go, and they're not, even when they hit their horns, the sheep never, they didn't get scared, they just kept walking, like, nothing's wrong. So, you understand what I mean when I say sheep are dumb? The scripture says, get ready, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all been dumb. And some of us are still suffering from the UMB. D-U-M-B. Okay. It's okay. Jesus was the great shepherd. He tells the story of going, there's 99 sheep over here. He goes to find the one that's lost. That would be me and you. Amen? Amen? He came to find us, the dumb sheep. I confess. And if you confess, you can get healed. Amen? So I said all that to say that Joseph was a shepherd, and out of his good, faithful living from one trial to another, his character was developed so that as he rose up the ladder, God could use him for more stuff. And if you read the rest of chapter 39 and into 40 and 41, the net result is Joseph gets put in prison again for a couple more years, and then he gets out and he ends up helping Pharaoh. But every time he starts down here, he moves up and he moves up until eventually Joseph is put in charge of the whole of Egypt. So that's being like the vice president or something. And the president let him do everything, and he was just sitting up there because he said, Joseph got this. And he earned that position because he was faithful. How many of you want to be faithful this morning? Amen. God wants you to be faithful. One thing I know is that sometimes we are not faithful, but the Bible says that even when we're not faithful, God is faithful. And he never fails. He never fails. So how do we get to be faithful? We need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Some of us have missed out. You never have fallen in love with Jesus. And I don't mean falling like off a cliff, like when you meet some girl or a guy, and you just swoon and, oh, you know. I don't mean like that. I mean, because love is not really blind. It's when you realize that you're a sinner, that you're messed up, that you're broken, and you can't fix your brokenness. And then you say, God, I need you because you love me in spite of myself and you want to fix what's broken. And then you give up your reins to your life. You give up your choices to take his will for your life. And that submission is what brings life. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, today we got a chance to hear about how you changed Joseph's life. By using trials and tribulations, you helped them to become faithful in little, so you made them faithful over much. We get to see how he was able to resist temptation because his love for you was stronger than anything the devil could throw at him. So God, I just pray this morning for each person that's here that has a need, those that raised their hands earlier, that they want to be faithful. They want to be like Joseph. We all really want to be faithful. We want people to see us as being faithful. And I ask God that you would help us by your Spirit, that you meet the needs in this house today. If there's somebody today that you haven't ever given God control of your life, you've never accepted the love that he has for you, and you want that love, I wish you would just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Thank you. There's some of you who are in this place today and you've accepted Jesus, but for whatever, your love for him has grown cold. You've been distracted by your pain, by the things in your life. The devil has thrown some trials your way so that you want to quit or give up or just succumb. But God said, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, which is to say that not only do you have good life, but it's overflowing with the blessings of God. If you want that, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you. See those hands. Thank you. So we're going to pray for you. We're all going to stand right now. If we take a moment and just stand. We're not going to have any music, but we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to envelop us by his grace. And we'll get ready to dismiss. But if you raise your hand and you'd like prayer for salvation or prayer for those things that we just mentioned, I want you to come down now. We have prayer counselors that if you all come down, Elder Lee, come on down. And we'd love to pray with you. Don't be ashamed or afraid. We're only here to encourage you to be what God wants you to be. The devil would try to keep you in the place where you are so he can keep beating up on you. But I set you free in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on down. Let God do something for you right now. In Jesus' name. We take authority over every enemy spirit in the name of Jesus. And we break that power. And God, we pray for a loosing over their lives right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thanks for coming down, gentlemen. If there's anybody else, come on down. We're just going to pray real quick. God has something for you today. He has some life for you today.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.